In Mark chapter number 16, the Bible says this, "And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you." The angel who told of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus had a message that was personally sent to Peter. Have you ever thought about why he didn't say, "Now tell John," or "Why don't you tell Thomas," or "Tell Andrew," or why did he say, "Make sure you tell Peter"? You see, as we think about Peter's life, you've got to go back and read. And let me read a verse or two out of Luke about Peter. And what we learn about Peter is we see something of the failure of man. Jesus is going to be betrayed, and Peter says, "Lord, though all men forsake you, I'll never." And the Lord said, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice." No, I'll die with you or for you. I'll defend you. And our Lord said, this is exactly what's going to happen, Peter. And you know the story. Peter around the fire, the Bible says he followed afar off. And there in the midst of the hall, he said, "We were set down together." Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man also was with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The last thing Peter saw of the Lord Jesus before the cross was a look of disappointment. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of communication in a look. Everybody who's married knows the power of a look. Can I hear amen? You know that look. There's a look. My mother, when I was growing up, she didn't have to say a word. There was a look. If I was misbehaving in church, she didn't have to say my name. She didn't have to snap her fingers. She just had to give me that look. Now that look meant I was going to get something when I got home. And it wasn't candy either, I'll just tell you that. But that look, we know what a look can convey. And our Bible says that Jesus turned and he looked on Peter. And when he looked on Peter, you know what he did? I believe it was a look of great disappointment. Here was a man who said, "I'll die with you, I'll die for you, I'll stand." But you know what Peter proved? Peter proved that he was a man like you and me. He's made out of clay. And the reality is that men fail. The Bible says it like this, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one." And no matter what we may think about ourselves or what we might say about our ability or our desire, the bottom line is we all fail. Man fails. And that's what Peter teaches us. Not only do we see his look of disappointment, but he remembered the word. It was instantaneously when he looked. The Lord looked on Peter, and then Peter remembered the word and that sting of conviction. He remembered what the Lord said. Folks, we've got a Bible that tells us what the Lord says. In this Bible is the word of the Lord, and oftentimes when I open it and begin to read it, it reads me and it stings as I read it because it points out the truth about me. Now, you may be flattered by friends, but you'll never be flattered by the Bible. The Bible will always tell you the truth. The Bible will say to you, like it says to me, you must be born again. The Bible will say to you that, again, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible will always speak the truth as it speaks to us as men. But then I want you to see something else here about Peter. I want you to see his bitter tears. The Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. Here's his last encounter. Jesus will be taken away. He'll be nailed to a cross. They'll put him up there and he'll cry those words, "It is finished." They'll take him off of that cross. They'll put him in the grave. And there he'll be for 3 days. The last thing Peter's got going through his mind is a look of disappointment, is the sting of conviction on his heart, are the tears that run down his cheek. And I believe we're still running down his cheeks because Peter was brokenhearted over the fact he had denied the Lord. See, our failures bring out the reality we don't like to face. Our sin reminds us that all of us stand in need of God. There's no one that can say, "God, I don't need you because I've got this thing figured out." There's no one here that can say, "I can save myself." There's no one here that can say, I don't need the Lord Jesus because I can take care of my own sin." Peter is living proof that a man cannot take care of his own sin no more than he can contain his own sin. There's got to be something else. But I want you to notice the mercy of the Lord. Because not only did we see that they took Jesus and they nailed him on a cross and he died for our sin and shed his blood to forgive us, they put him in a grave, but on the third day he got up. And when he got up, he said, "You make sure," he told that angel, he said, "You tell Peter that I'm alive. You tell Peter I'm risen. You tell Peter that I'll meet him in Galilee." You know what? That was a message of mercy from the Lord. He didn't say, "Tell Peter he's a coward." He didn't say, "Tell Peter he's a traitor." He didn't say, "Tell Peter that he failed me and I'm done with him. I'm washing my hands." No, no. He said, "You tell him I'm alive. You tell him the tomb's empty. And you tell him to get to Galilee because I'm going to see him there." God brought a message of mercy to Peter after the resurrection. And can I say to you, as I look at the failure of men, I cannot stop there. I must recognize the mercy of the Lord. What is that message? Tell his disciples and Peter. Have you ever thought about what that meant to Peter? That the Lord called him by name? The one that denied him, the one that went out and wept bitterly, the one that said, "I don't know who he is," and he swore and he cursed. Do you know what it must have meant to him for the Lord to say, for the angel to say to the Lord, "Now you tell him that I said his name. Tell Peter. Tell Peter." What does it mean? What's the message of that? Well, here's the message. I believe, number one, he was telling Peter, "Peter, I care. I still care. I'm glad John 3:16 is unalterable in the Word of God. The Bible still says, 'For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.'" I'm glad the love of God doesn't alter because of the failure of men, because of the shortcomings of sin, or the wickedness of our own ways. There's a God in heaven who still loves, and I'll tell you something, He loves you. You say, "Preacher, that's impossible." Well, it would be if we were talking about a man, but we're talking about God. The cross is an eternal demonstration of the love of Almighty God. There may be some. Zach and I had the privilege to be in the rescue mission down in Baltimore Friday night. And you know, you think about some things you do and the choices you make and the life you live. You might sit around and think, "Could God love somebody like me? I'm glad that I can look any man, woman, boy, or girl right fair in the eye and tell you this morning that He loves you." Because the cross of Calvary stands as a monument that declares the love of God for all mankind. It was on that cross He died for your sin. It was on that cross He gave Himself for you to be saved. It was on that cross. He paid your debt. You say, I didn't ask Him to. Isn't that a mercy? Isn't it a mercy that He did it without asking? He did it without even your permission. You say, I didn't give Him permission. This is the age of having to give permission for everything, you know. But I'm glad He didn't have to ask my permission. He's God Almighty. And there He died for my sin. The cross says, I love you. If it says anything at all, it declares the love of God. That message to Peter, you know when Peter heard the Lord say, tell him I'm alive. When the angel gave the message, Peter said, He still loves me. He still loves me. Did you ever get in trouble when you're little? You're a right angelic looking bunch, so I don't know if I'm talking to the right people. But I can speak from experience that I knew my share of trouble that I caused. And you know when you're little, the first thing you're worried about, do you love me? Do you love me? Now, some children are kind of hard in their nature, and you know how all children are different. I don't think my daughter ever worried about whether we loved her or not. She'd just be mean and seem to enjoy being mean, I guess. But now Josiah was much more tender-hearted. And if he thought you were displeased, you had to tell him 20 more times, I still love you. I'm going to wear you out, but I still love you. You're mean as the devil, but I still love you. I still love you. I'm glad. Please hear me. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My failures doesn't affect His love. His love's eternal. Oh, what mercy when He said, tell Peter. I believe He said, I love you still. But not only that, I believe He communicated a message of forgiveness. Peter, forgiveness is available. There's pardon for you. You can be forgiven of your sin. I'm glad, oh, aren't you glad this morning, that there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. There's not a baptismal tank in this country that can put your sin away. And there's not a religious denomination that you can join up with that'll take away that stain of sin and that guilt that you carry on your heart when you do wrong against God. There's not a candle you can light or a prayer you can pray. There's only one remedy for my sin, and that's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And His forgiveness puts my sin away. You know, I love that verse, John 6:32. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now that's a mighty big promise. That opens a door so big that no man can miss it. He says, Him that cometh to me, listen, there's you can come. You don't have to be wealthy to come. You don't have to be of a certain nationality to come. He just said, Him that cometh. You just got to come. And when you come to Him, here's what He said. I'll not cast you out. I read the story this week about a young lady who had gotten saved and she had gotten sick and was getting ready to leave this world. And a pastor went to visit her and she said, you know, I don't know the Bible very well and I don't have a great experience to talk about. But here's what she said. She said, I read that verse in John 6:32. And it says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. She said, preacher, I'm holding on to that. I'm going to tell you something. If that's all you got to hold on to, you got something to hold on to. Because Him that cometh to Him, listen, friend, if you'll come to the Lord Jesus, He'll not cast you out. He'll not turn you away. You might get put out of places. You may get turned away by people, but you'll never be turned away from the Lord Jesus. No cry for mercy will He ignore. He'll not stop His ears up to a sinner who says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He'll not turn away a deaf ear, friend. He'll save everyone that calls on His good name. There's forgiveness available. Then I believe the message also includes there's hope. There's hope. Peter, there's still hope. What do you mean there's hope? Peter had failed the Lord miserably. Peter's own actions had, had broken his fellowship with the Lord. But the Lord said, make sure you let him know I'm alive. There's hope for him still. You know, we're a country that's quickly running out of hope. Every time someone takes their life, they're saying, I have no hope. Every time someone says, look, there may be hope for you and there may be hope for that one, but there's no hope for me. Can I tell you something this morning? There's hope in the Lord. I don't care who you are or where you've been or what you may be facing, there is hope in the Lord. There's no sin so stained in your soul, and there's no person gone so far and no rebellion so great that if you'll but just come to Him, my friend, you will find there's hope in the Lord. There's hope this morning. I'd like to shout it from the housetops of this country and let every dear person know there's hope in the Lord. That person that thinks they got to drink their misery away or shoot up to get the horrors of life out of their consciousness, I'd just like to whisper in their ear, there's hope in the Lord. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can save you. Listen, He alone can keep you. He's the answer. He always has been. He always will be. And I don't care what happens in this country, how far she goes or how wicked she gets, my friend, there'll still be hope in the Lord. It don't matter. Listen, if we get to the point that we're so morally bankrupt, we have to guard ourselves on every corner, I'm glad to tell you there will still be hope in the Lord. So long as Jesus lives, there's hope in Him. You say, how long is that going to be? He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Eternal I Am. We'll never have His funeral. We'll never go to a grave and say He's dead and gone and never shall be. He tasted death once and defeated it, and thank God He lives this morning. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. Now the Bible says this. It says to them that perish, this message is foolish. You might be sitting here thinking, that's crazy, that's funny, that's foolish. Well, the Bible's got a name for you. You're perishing. And I would just be a mere hireling if I didn't tell you the truth. And the truth is, my friend, if you die without Christ, you'll go to hell and live forever. Your soul will be in hell forever. And I don't say that with any joy. In fact, I say it with a real burden on my heart, because the fact is, you'll go to hell as an intruder. God didn't make that place for you. But I've got good news for you. You don't have to. Because the rest of that verse says, but to us who are saved, it's the power of God. I'm going to tell you something. That message is still good. And I've heard the gospel I don't know how many times, but when I got saved as an 8-year-old boy, God did something in my heart. I never tire hearing the good news. It's still good news every time I hear it, though I already know the news. My friend, listen, where do you fall this morning? Are you perishing or are you saved? Are you on your way to hell or are you on your way to heaven? The good news of the gospel is that you can go to heaven from this place right here. You can get it right today. You know what touched my heart as they gave testimony? I like how each one of them stood up here and said, oh, I met Jesus. I met Jesus. And I was looking a little bit further than the part they were playing. I'm thinking about the men and women that I know behind those costumes, and I know they've met Jesus. And they're just not playing a part in the program. They've met the Lord, and they know Him as their personal Savior. And oh, what a difference it makes to know Him. What a difference it makes. You know the only thing different? If you're here unsaved, the only thing different between you and me is that I'm forgiven and going to heaven and you're not. People think Christians think they're better than. There might be some that do. Shame on them if they do. But Christians aren't better than nobody. We're just better off. Big difference. We're better off. Our sins are under the blood of Christ. We're on our way to heaven. Now, friend, are you saved? Are you born again? Have you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior? It's the biggest question you'll answer in life. It's more important than who you marry and where you live and what you do and how much money you make and all these things. It's far more important because your soul hangs in the balance. Friend, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Him? You laugh at Him, mock Him? You reject Him? Or have you accepted Him? The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Will you believe on Him? Will you trust Him right now? We're going to have a time of prayer, Brother Dow, if you'll come quickly. He's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. And as He leads this invitation, if you need to come and pray, someone will be glad to pray with you. If you want to use the front pew or bow in this altar, you can find you a place and pray. If you're here today without Christ, friend, listen. You don't need a religious education. You need to realize in your heart you're lost and you need Christ and He alone can save you. And if you'll cry out to Him, He'll hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer. He'll save you. He'll save you. It's not whether you kneel. It's not what you say. It's the reality. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Will you trust Him? You know what this was all about? The final song said it all. We preach Christ. We're sitting before you, the Lord Jesus, and saying, choose life. Trust Him and be saved. You may be a Christian and not walking close to the Lord. Friend, I wouldn't live another day at a distance from the Lord. Amen. Whatever it is keeping you from walking with Him, get it right, get close, and walk with Him. Stand with me, please, if you would. Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege to pray and the time You've given us and the truth that our ears